Greetings. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola, aloha. Ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno. So adi karup, guten tag. Ciao, we viva, katbang. Half a day. Jai Janendra. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, go vegan. Peace how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation. In the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, wishing you a happy new year and reminding you that the world becomes a happier place with each new vegan. So the more new vegans that there are, the happier 2015 will be. And whatever New Year's resolutions you have broken already thus far can be remedied by the all-purpose resolution to go vegan. Whether your resolution is to remove yourself from the cause of the most immense suffering and massacre on planet Earth ever, to doing your part for the environment, or striving to improve your family's health, going vegan pretty much covers it all. And that's why we are organizing the World Vegan Summit and Expo, which seems like it's coming up rather quickly now that, you know, it's become 2015, and it's going to be March 2021 and 22, 2015, at the Marina Del Rey Marriott in the Los Angeles area. And you can register for this once-in-a-lifetime event where the world's leading thinkers, professors, medical professionals, environmentalists, social justice activists, and athletes gather, really dedicated to making the world a better place for all species, for all animals, through vegan advocacy. And you can be there too. Register now at worldvegansummit.com, and we'll strategize on how we can help as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, to go vegan and make the world a happier place. You know, I'm trying to have a happy new year, but I don't know. It seems like about a second into the new year, I became infuriated. Now that January 1st brought the delusion that misery, torture, and murder can be made happy or happier. We've been waiting how many years? 7 years for this day of nothingness? It's amazing. That delusion is Proposition 2 in California, the huge money and time-wasting scam courtesy of the animal betrayal specialists at the Humane Society of the United States and its ditto-head groupie groups who claim to be animal advocates, while all the while they are merely front groups for animal exploitation industry. So, HSUS members, now you officially have the excuse that you've been waiting for to justify eating that humane cheese omelet. You have that excuse, right? Even months ago, prior to Prop 2 going into effect, the New York Times was writing how great the chickens have it in California. Only, somebody forgot to tell the chickens. The animals who really want to be Oscar Mayer wieners, don't get your hopes up about being a J.S. West chicken, instead. Wow, the propaganda we get. Isn't it amazing that an animal would want to be an Oscar Mayer wiener? Or anybody's food? With HSUS, I don't know. What a scam, right? And with HSUS, the scam starts with the name. I mean, what's in a name? It's as important as the lies that go into a campaign. If anybody knows the value of a name, the Humane Society of the United States does. Its name is founded in deception, right? The Humane Society of the United States. Why, it must be involved with running shelters for homeless dogs and cats, right? Who are, you know, instead, really the sad fundraising props in HSUS late night terrorvision ads, except HSUS runs no shelters. It merely collects donations that people think are going to help shelters, all the while HSUS is lobbying in California for shelters to eliminate the waiting time for cats to be killed in California shelters so that their guardians never have a chance of reuniting with them. And HSUS has lobbied for those cats and dogs on death row to be sold to private businesses for any purpose, including vivisection. Your HSUS donation dollars at work, right? So many millions of them went to Ringling Brothers in a racketeering scandal. So, I mean, if those are the desired policies, you know, the scam from HSUS to help and protect dogs and cats, well, one can only imagine the cruel policies that HSUS endorses for cows, pigs, and chickens, the very animals from whom HSUS management and employees routinely rape and murder for fun and profit. One can only imagine what HSUS had or has in mind for chickens. Well, because Proposition 2 is all imaginary. From its deceptive name, the Prevention of Farm Animal Cruelty Act. That's what went into effect January 1st. The Prevention of Farm Animal Cruelty Act. Holy cow, the animals must have it so good. It's not just HSUS members who can have that humane cheese omelet now. Even vegans can enjoy a guilt-free humane cheese omelet because, in effect now in California, the Prevention of Farm Animal Cruelty Act. I think the key word is act. And to promote this, one has to be a good actor, like leading man Wayne Pacelli and his understudy Paul Shapiro. Back when the Proposition 2 campaign was beginning, a campaign that collected 700,000 signatures, and signature gatherers were commanded by Commandant Pacelli not to mention anything about veganism when gathering those signatures for the Prevention of Farm Animal Cruelty Act. I was told back then, even by a Malibu actress organizing parties for it. I remember the quote. She said, "This has nothing to do with going vegan or vegetarian. It's just about giving the birds enough room to spread their wings. Can't we do that? Can't we at least give the birds enough room to spread their wings?" Well, nobody told her that it meant, well, maybe one bird at a time. And they'd have to figure out how to take turns. Nobody really told anybody what Prop 2 meant, you know, with any consistency. The script that Paul Shapiro read to me back when HSUS was trying to get Go Vegan Radio to fall in line with all the other supporters, all the other beguiled. So Paul Shapiro said that space allotted for birds in cages would expand from 8.5 inches by 11 inches, which is, what, about 88 square inches, to 12 inches by 12 inches, or about 144 square inches. Now, at that same time, leading man Wayne Pacelli had a different script. He toured the state with his stage act, promising a cage-free California with the passage of Prop 2. Cage-free being the acceptable hell for birds, dictated by this group of egg industry animal advocates, or Eggs Benedict Arnolds. We fast forward now to December 31st. Just days ago, a panel discussion on the NPR outlet in the Bay Area, KQED, that on the eve of Prop 2. And Pacelli, the Pacell out, is selling us on 67 square inches per bird in modified battery cages, or furnished battery cages, or as HSUS likes to call them, you know, to further the interests of its partner, United Egg Producers. Enriched colony housing. Why, it sounds like a resort condominium. Who wouldn't want to live in enriched colony housing? Pacelli touts those enrichments as something great. You know, a stick we can call a perch, and some sand or wood shavings that become a bird bath. 67 square inches. He was on the show talking about how wonderful that would be when... Back when Paul Shapiro was talking to me, he said that the birds had 88 square inches and Prop 2 would bring them up to 144 square inches. So please go back to doing nothing. So the birds had it better, huh? Maybe. Or less worse. So also in these enriched, modified cages are now, you find some partitions, you know, for the privacy birds would want when laying eggs. And those enrichments are actually a source of serious injury for the birds, and they take up space, so maybe they have even less room, you know, than before, and you know, making room, you know, it makes it even smaller than initially, and then the birds tend to pile on each other on a side of the cage out of fear. So they crowd and pile on each other. So much for whatever's supposed to be more room, whatever's supposed to be an enrichment. Pacelli is now telling us 67 square inches are acceptable and humane. Okay, in reality... Nobody knows what Prop 2 means, other than it was a very effective fundraiser for the Humane Society of the United States. And all along, I told you so. You know, I asked, is California going to budget to hire an army of chicken welfare inspectors armed with tape measures, braving the stifling ammonia and birdbath dust cloud, you know, seeking infractions of... fractions of inches? It was laughable. I'll tell you who's laughing now after the break. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Coming up on today's program, we continue our discussion on the corruption of the environmental movement with Leslie Goldberg, vicious vegan blogger. Protests are breaking out against humane animal products in New York. Coming up, also Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and there are also a couple of Bob Linden pages on Facebook. And here we are coming to you broadcasting. We're live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the Genesis Communications Network. You can also click listen live at goveganradio.com. We come to you from the scene of the scam, the scene of the crime, as Proposition 2 went into effect this New Year's Day. And... Well, this month we commemorate the 14th anniversary of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. 14 years on the air. Pretty amazing. I was a little kid when the show started. What happened? And how did it last so long? It was only supposed to be on for a couple of weeks until, you know, radio station owners and management realized what we were saying, and then... I thought they changed the locks to the doors of the radio station. But here we are 14 years later, and we are organizing the World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can register at worldvegansummit.com. It's an expensive venture, as this radio show has been. So, you can also make a tax-deductible donation to support our work. That being, you know, being doing a two-hour program every week and the events that we do and... organizing the summit. So if you haven't donated over any of the last 14 years, you can click donate at goveganradio.com. It's donate. You'll find the donate button, goveganradio.com. Give a dollar for the last 14 years. Give $14 if you like, okay? Or, you know, if you want to give $100 per year for the last 14 years, we'll be happy to take $1,400. I know you've been waiting. You want to see if we're going to break down and sell out and support, you know, grass-fed beef or diarrhea-fed bacon or Proposition 2. I mean, we've had, what, 7 years to come around to support it, right? So when it was happening, and now it's the law of California. Only nobody knows what it means. And even way back then, when, what was that, 7 years ago? So this program was only 7 years old when I told you so. You know, I did ask, will California budget to hire an army of chicken welfare inspectors who would run around with tape measures and, you know, hold their breath in the ammonia and, you know, just seeking infractions of inches? You know, it was laughable, really. But who's laughing now? Well, if you listen to the KQED discussion, which I did post in my socialist media empire there on Facebook and Twitter, local law enforcement around the state is chuckling over its supposed new task to seek violations, whose prosecution would only lead to a misdemeanor. To seek violations, you know, violations, you know, where their buddies are guilty, their neighbors, you know, the animal exploitation businesses in their neighborhoods who really are the foundation of local economies. Huh? So, I don't know. Egg producers in California are now basically claiming that the inhumane standard by HSUS, Farm Sanctuary, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing, Farm, In Defense of Animals, which later changed its support. You know, so they basically say that support for the egg bill, the rotten egg bill, which came after Prop 2, means that the humane standard would be the provisions from the rotten egg bill, which was written by United Egg Producers. So that's how we come to these lower standards now, if anything, and that rotten egg bill went down in Congress. Well, these horrific battery cages are now claimed to be Prop 2 compliant. The battery cages from the rotten egg bill, and why not? 67 square inches. You know, what's that, about 8.5 inches by 8.5 inches, are the animal rights victory. There you go, 8.5 inches by 8.5 inches, or 8.2 inches, is it, right, per bird, are the animal rights victory we sought, huh? We now celebrate as Prop 2, and Pacelli parades around the state asking retailers to go cage-free in the spirit of Prop 2. Well, it's just a horrible situation going on here. Deception? I don't know. So anyway, we'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the Bob Linden pages, which were started by mistake when I first got on Facebook. But anyway, they're usually maxed out, but you can get in and be my friend. So I need friends because, you know, all the Prop 2 supporters think I'm being divisive and weird. when it's Prop 2 that's weird, and HSUS that's weird, and I don't even know why HSUS, you know, why the media, or the media, go to HSUS to represent the position of animals. It's kind of crazy. It really stacks the deck against them when nobody represents the animals. And you know, this rancher money and egg producer money has not only corrupted the so-called animal rights movement, it has corrupted the environmental movement also. Last week, we started our discussion of rancher money influencing the Sierra Club and 350.org and Fibbin Bill McKibben. Dr. Mike Hudak presented shocking revelations, and that program is archived. You can hear it at goveganradio.com. And today, part two of the discussion will continue. We started last week with Leslie Goldberg and just had a few minutes with her. She is the blogger at Vicious Vegan. She's also an award-winning investigative reporter. She worked with the San Francisco Examiner, nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. And she's a lifelong member of the Sierra Club. She also confronted both Bill McKibben and Sierra Club Executive Director Michael Brune. And so welcome back, Leslie. How are you today?
Thanks a lot, Bob, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being here. Last week when you started, you said something that I thought was maybe the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But it was a quote. It wasn't what you said. You were quoting Bill McKibben in his reaction to you when you asked him about why he's avoiding the issue of animal agriculture when it comes to climate change, since it is, you know, the number one cause. And from the science I read, responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Remind us again what Bill McKibben said when you confronted him.
Yes. Well, as I said on the last show, back in 2012, I went to a weekend environmental conference in California called Bioneers, which is mostly about so-called sustainable agriculture, backyard chickens, grass-fed beef, alternative energy. And it was very depressing to me because nobody was talking about the fact that livestock production, whether the animals are in a pasture or on a feedlot, is the primary cause of climate change, since it produces, just like you said, 51% of greenhouse gas emissions. So I listened and listened for about a day and a half, and finally Bill McKibben got up to speak, and I was really excited because here's the guy who's the expert on climate change.
America's number one environmentalist. He's on Democracy Now! Practically on a weekly basis, sure.
There you go. And yeah. I was really disappointed because he didn't talk about animal agriculture either. It was coal, the tar sands, oil, the Keystone Pipeline. And I remember him saying that he was so keyed up about the Keystone Pipeline, he said that if that thing goes through, our environment is done for. And he also said that unless drastic changes took place, we had about 16 years left as a species on this planet. And so I was upset after that talk. And so I buttonholed him and I said, why hadn't you talked about animal agriculture and climate change? Hadn't you read the UN FAO report in 2006, Livestock Slung Shadow? And he looked at me like that was the stupidest question he had ever heard, that I would ask him if he had read something. But anyway, he said, I asked him, well, why didn't you ask people to go vegan or at least cut back on their animal food consumption? It would be so easy and quick compared to some of these other things like trying to shut down coal plants. And so, unfortunately, Bill McKibben became agitated and irritated with me. And he asked me if I knew where the biggest increases in meat consumption were coming from. And I said, yes, I understood that it was in the developing countries. And he said to me very pointedly, very clearly, he said, how can you ask people who are just starting to be able to afford and enjoy meat that they can't have it.
See, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Thank you. Again, it still is. It stood out. It stood the test of time.
I would have never even imagined anyone could come up with that, but that's what he said. And as I was standing there, I was trying to figure out, well, what should I say? It was just so stunning. And finally, I got my words together, and I said, well, we could ask people in developing countries to cut back on meat or go vegan. And by that time, he had already turned away, and he was packing up his bag to leave.
And having his ham sandwich, too, probably. His sustainable ham sandwich, probably. Right. Yeah. That's so infuriating. It's like, how can we deprive these people of, heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, and, continued destruction of the world? These are the leaders of the environmental movement. And then
he used the word enjoy meat. I was really struck by that because that was another one I wouldn't even think of. But
right. Because I might enjoy the benefits of a coal plant in the future. I might enjoy, right? I might enjoy the lights being on. So what's amazing to me is that they're so against things that might happen in the future when what's causing it today is on their plate. They really... I'm infuriated. Prop 2 got me going. Now Bill McKibben. And then you also confronted Michael Brune of the Sierra Club. Tell us about that.
Yes, and as you know, Michael Brune is the head of the Sierra Club. And last October, he came to a Presbyterian church in Marin County to talk about various issues. And just like Bill McKibben, he talked about tar sands, and he talked about oil and coal and the Keystone Pipeline. And he said nothing about animal agriculture. And this was just a few months after the release of Cowspiracy, a movie that sharply criticized environmental groups, including the Sierra Club. And
really embarrassed the Sierra Club, really, that was an embarrassment to the Sierra Club. It's like asking, what about animal agriculture? And the guy from the Sierra Club, what was his name? Hamilton? Is that?
Bruce Hamilton.
Bruce Hamilton says, what about animal agriculture? Like, maybe they can't read. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
So it was, why Cowspiracy, they were criticizing them, saying that these environmental groups just weren't talking about the huge impact of animal ag. So Michael Brune, I think everybody there was waiting to see what he would say about Cowspiracy. And so after the lecture, he took audience questions on index cards. And right away, Cowspiracy came up, and somebody had written, why don't you create a program similar to your Beyond Coal and call it Beyond Meat? And just like McKibben, Brune got irritated. And he seemed very miffed at the film and very miffed at the film's makers and said the Sierra Club was not interested in spending too much time with people who criticized our friends on the issue. And then he pointed out that the Sierra Club has been opposed to, quote, industrial agriculture for decades, that they'd actually sued some factory farms for environmental damage. And he said that the Sierra Club also had asked members to cut down on their meat consumption, but would not ask them to go vegetarian. So when my card came up, I had written down, why didn't he explain how animal agriculture was responsible from anywhere from 18 to 51% of greenhouse gas emissions, and that livestock was worse even than the transportation sector? And so, first of all, he said he didn't agree with the percentages. He said he didn't think it was 51% or even 18%.
But and actually, the World Bank climate specialists say at least 51%. At least, they say.
So. But he did say he thought it was significant. And so that was the end of his response to my question.
And he didn't cite anything, any scientific journal for his assessment? Like, I don't think it's 18 to over to 51%.
He just said, I didn't think so. And that was it. Hmm. And so he was going on to the next index card. So I was sitting there, and I tried to ask out loud, what about animal agriculture and water pollution? What about overfishing and the decimation of the fish population? And the church minister, this was at a Presbyterian church, she turned around and shushed me, and Michael Broun just wouldn't answer my question. So what I really had hoped to hear from him was that animal agriculture is causing tremendous damage to our environment, and the only way we're going to have to make a significant impact is by giving up eating animal foods, and we've got to stop the demand for these foods. And I didn't hear it.
Well, we heard last week from Mike Hudak that there are significant rancher donations that go to the Sierra Club. Could that be influencing it, do you think? I mean, you're not seeing anything changing, right, with from Cowspiracy to your bringing up the issue, just in case nobody has brought it up previously, you know? So you're not seeing anything change, are you, with the Sierra Club?
Michael Broun has written publicly that they have taken donations from Tom Steyer, who has a grass-fed beef ranch, and from Michael Bloomfield. And personally, I don't think there's anything changing. When you go on the Sierra Club website, on the homepage, there's nothing about veganism, nothing about vegetarianism, nothing about eating less meat, nothing about the impact of animal ag.
Okay, we need to take a break. We'll continue with Leslie Goldberg talking about the Sierra Club and 350.org and Bill McKibben. And we'll talk about protests against humane animal products in New York and Professor Gary Francione next hour, too, on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at Go Vegan Radio on Twitter and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. And we're talking to Leslie Goldberg, who is the blogger Vicious Vegan. I wouldn't want to give the impression we're saying, people going vegan or vegetarian. If the vegetarian includes animal ingredients, it really will do nothing for the environment, nor animals, especially the vegetarians who consume dairy. Obviously, the cows produce an enormous amount of methane, and if they're grass fed, as these pseudo-environmental groups, Sierra Club, 350, seem to prefer, they can produce up to 400% the methane of animals confined on factory farms. And the very same environmental specialists at the World Bank who said that animal agriculture produces at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions tell us that we need a 50 to 85% shift from livestock consumption, so-called livestock, to vegan by 2020, or 1,700 U.S. cities are at risk of submersion in the not-too-distant future. So, Leslie, I mean, you talk to these leading environmentalists about climate change, but I presume the Sierra Club isn't even considering, beyond that, the water usage, the other environmental devastation, right?
There's nothing on either the Sierra Club website or the 350.org website about the importance of going vegan. And it's all about solar and wind power, which is wonderful, and ending the use of fossil fuels and stopping fracking and stopping the pipeline, which is all great, but there's nothing about the biggest cause of climate change of all, which is livestock production. And it's an alternative universe, because just the other night I was looking at the Costco magazine, it's almost like a catalog, and they've got vegan recipes in the Costco magazine. You look at Time magazine, even that, which is a conservative mainstream magazine, there's nothing particularly radical about that. That magazine last year, Brian Walsh, in his science column, said that the single most important thing you could do as an individual to help save the environment would be to cut out eating meat.
Right. Chris Hedges just went vegan, you know. I mean, so, you know, everybody's doing it except the environmental leaders who seem to want to fiddle around with fossil foods while the planet burns, you know. It's like, so nothing even in the Sierra Club draft, the new food and agriculture policy, no glimmers of hope from the Sierra Club. It's a lost cause, huh? Why do we even care about the Sierra Club and 350.org anyway?
Well, these are, the Sierra Club is the biggest and oldest environmental group in the country. And across North America, they have 1.3 million members. And generally, when people think about environmental concerns and conservation, the Sierra Club is the first thing that we think about. And it's only logical for people to conclude, well, if the Sierra Club is not taking seriously the damage of animal agriculture, what's the problem?
Yeah, why should I?
Yeah, it's the same thing with 350.org. They're the organization worldwide that everybody thinks about fighting climate change. And again, they are not addressing the issue.
It's time to divest. It's time to divest from the Sierra Club and 350.org. We have a listener who asked, do you have to be a member of the Sierra Club to comment? Do they have? Is there something people can do? And, you know, is there a comment period that's open? And do you have to be a Sierra Club member? Do you know?
Yes, there's the comment period is open until January 15th, and you have to be a member.
Okay.
That's my understanding. Which is not to stop anybody from going on the Sierra Club Facebook page and making comments about, you know, what how they feel about this issue.
I think I'm blocked from it already, so.
No.
But I still get comments in on the 350.org. Oh, I shouldn't say that. You know, I keep sneaking them in there. So, so Leslie, maybe, I don't know, we might have a minute left. Anything? Whoops. Well, hang out with us and we'll have a couple of minutes after the break, a couple more minutes with Leslie Goldberg, and her blog is Vicious Vegan. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and Bob Linden also on Facebook. And we look forward to the World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can register now at WorldVeganSummit.com. Also go to GoVeganRadio.com. You'll see the banner ads for some of the participants at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. For example, we will be drinking Select Organic Coffee and Tea, that's S-E-E-L-E-C-T, Select Coffee and Tea, when we wake up in the morning there, and much of the food will be veganic. We have a little plot that's growing right now, our veganic produce coming from Freckled Sunlight Farms. Look for the banner ad for SoCal CSA on the GoVeganRadio.com website. Click on that. What's really exciting is that if you're in the L.A. area, you can now have veganic produce delivered to your home. And we will be eating veganically at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. So we have a minute left with Leslie Goldberg. Her blog is Vicious Vegan. We've been talking about the horrific policies of the Sierra Club and 350.org. It seems that the Sierra Club doesn't even acknowledge that there's not enough land and water on Earth, you know, to enact its current policies that it's recommending, and it ignores water pollution and animal agriculture, and it's number two guy Hamilton says, if we do choose to eat meat, grass-fed, responsibly raised beef would be healthier and more sustainable. So it's a lost cause, Leslie, huh?
Yes, and I think it's really, really important that we as vegans continue to put out there to the public this idea of sustainable animal agriculture, grass-fed beef, et cetera. Although maybe it's less cruel to the animals, it's not going to help with the environment, and it's not going to help feed the world. And
it's really not sustainable. It's another PR campaign, because there's nothing sustainable about the water usage, land usage, energy usage. That's why we need the coal plants and all in the future, right? So how could people contact you or stay abreast of your work and see what you're doing? And
just go to www.viciousvegan.com, and I'm there.
All right. We're there, and thanks for the work that you're doing, and thanks for being with us today, Leslie Goldberg.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Okay. Well, just as there's no sustainable meat or animal products, there's really no humane meat or animal products, no humane so-called meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And some people are getting it, and they're taking to the streets in my little hometown of New York City. And I'm so happy to see that protests are breaking out throughout the area. And Collectively Free is a group that's now taking action. The co-founders of Collectively Free are Rafaela Chiavata and Lily Trenkova, who are with us here today. Rafaela, in real life, is an art director, but in real life, she's an animal liberation activist. And Lily, also a creative person, set designer, musician, organizer. And so how are you doing today, Rafaela and Lily?
Hi, Bob. This is Rafaela. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Terrific. We're doing great here. So tell us about the actions you've been taking in Nueva York.
Oh, so absolutely, Bob. I believe the one that you saw primarily was the one we did at the Green Farm, Green Market Farm in New Union Square.
In Union Square.
And that one, we took to the streets the fact that people are just being fooled and being lied to into believing that these animals, the corpses of the animals that are being sold in those markets, that they died and they had the best of lives and they were killed with dignity. And people really believe in the whole humane myth. So we have a campaign that's called It's Blood on Your Hands. Our campaigns mostly are heavily visual. So we always try to incorporate some sort of theatrical aspect to them. And in this case, we have literally blood on our hands, and we have posters that portray, for example, we have a cage-free facility, which is portrayed in one of our posters. We have posters for fish, posters for, pigs and cows. So it's very graphic in that sense. And we basically just decided to go throughout the whole market chanting that humane myth is a lie and no animals want to die. And we had blood on our hands, and we did it. We repeated the speech about five times. So we broke it down into every single species. So we talked about cows, we talked about chickens, we talked about even fish that they have, they serve there at that market. We talked about dairy cows. And it was very successful, Bob. We educated the public, Collectively Free is based on veganism and education as well. So that's very important. And it was very successful, that specific campaign, and as well as the others that we have been doing around here in New York City.
So you've been to that market in Union Square. You've also been to Trader Joe's and Whole Foods. So you could be anywhere at any time. And people can see this on YouTube. How can people watch your actions?
Absolutely. They can go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/collectivelyfree. they can find us there. As well as on our website, we keep them pretty updated with our videos. So it would be collectivelyfree.org. And our Facebook, I would say, is the most updated of all as well.
Mm. You know, it somewhat brings tears to my eyes when I see people, you know, who care that much, who care enough at least to get out of their comfort zone. You know, it's not so easy to go into a store and confront people, you know, but, you know, the motivation is there. And I'm also happy that you're including the vegan message, because I see that, you know, there are some campaigns out there that talk about how awful things are, but they're not asking people to take action. And the action is to go vegan. And that's a main component of what you're doing.
That's right. This is Lily.
Yes, hi, Lily.
Indeed. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how it is in other cities, but here in New York, the movement is quite I don't want to say segregated per se, but it is in some ways divided. In that everyone, as being busy New Yorkers, everyone focuses on their own thing. So part of what we focus on is to connect with different groups. And even if we don't necessarily 100% agree with some of the group's message, we try to provide them with some support and, you know, try to connect people and get to, like, offer people the perspective of the bigger picture. And we have indeed, our community has grown, and we've attracted a lot of people to our actions, and we notice a lot more people are getting involved. And losing fear of that, you know, like you say, it is indeed challenging at first when you enter those establishments, but it gets easier as we go, and then the more we grow, the bigger groups we can bring, and then...
Right, and we are never as uncomfortable as the animals are, so... You know, that's
absolutely
so, you know, taking that action. Now, some years ago, I used to project images of animal suffering at the Santa Monica Promenade. Took a projection screen out there, and that was taking it to the streets also. You're doing something similar in New York City.
Yeah, we are. We don't use a projection screen, but we use buildings of New York, and we project animal, like, video content of everyday animal cruelty, from, you know, typical factory farms to quote-unquote humane slaughterhouses to fur farms to everyday reality that happens and that many people don't get to see. But that way people, we're not forcing people to look, but they end up looking because it is the streets of New York. And then we engage people in conversation, give them leaflets, you know, offer advice, etc.
And it's probably the first time they're seeing the reality. You know, it's so well hidden from us.
Very often, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we happen to have gotten a very beautiful testimonial, Bob, from a man named John who has seen one of our projections, and we also, it's on our YouTube channel too, from we call it Projection Towards Compassion. That's the name of our, you know, this campaign that we do. And he said that he changed his life completely and that he is striving to go as vegan as possible. And it was just such an inspirational message, because you really see how you're affecting people in a way that is just so rewarding. We're changing minds and we're opening hearts. And that's what we want to keep doing.
Well, that's what we want you to keep doing, too. So, and how did both of you, what are your personal stories on how you went vegan?
Well, I went vegan almost 10 years ago after being vegetarian for many years. And then I finally got it after, you know, watching some videos. And this is Lily, by the way. So, yes, I just educated myself. I, at that point, knew a few vegans, and then I, you know, saw some videos, read some books, and finally understood that actually this is the right way to be.
Mm-hmm. And Rafaela?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bob, for me, it was, I'm Brazilian originally. I want to point that out. So I grew up in a culture that was I joke around when I say this, but it's very true. There are steakhouses in Brazil as there are Starbucks in the U.S. At every single corner there is one, and it's just, you know, crazy out there. But that did not excuse myself from evolving. So I just wanted to point out, with anyone that comes from a culture that is just as meat-centric, that we can all change and we can evolve. And I happened to actually run across a pita video, and it was on Factory Farm, and I just couldn't undo that awareness that I had. You know, when you're aware of something, you just can't undo it. And I said, oh, that's it for me. I'm going vegetarian. And then I saw another video about dairy cows, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't.
Hang on, Rafaela and Lily, hang on. We have to take a break. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at worldvegansummit.com. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and Bob Linden and Bob Linden pages on Facebook. And I want to thank Vegetarian House, 100% vegan restaurant in San Jose, 520 East Santa Clara Street, for being one of the first to help us in our quest to secure the Marina del Rey Marriott, March 20, 21, and 22. It's coming up quickly for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And thanks to Vegetarian House, 100% vegan, organic. And if you're in the Bay Area, Vegetarian House caters. So if you have a business event coming up, a social event, you're getting married, you can make it special with the wonderful food. And check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us, vegetarianhouse.us. And when you're at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, you'll be saying hi to Nature's Flavors. They have given us Birdie and Bill's Natural Soda and really thousands of other vegan products. Check out the website. You can add a lot of flavor to your kitchen. Go to naturesflavors.com. naturesflavors.com. We're talking today to Rafaela Chiavara and Lily Trenkova in New York City. They have founded Collectively Free, and they're doing direct action, taking it to the streets, taking it to the retailers who sell animal products, and doing really great work there. And also, Rafaela, you're a DJ wannabe. Is that on your to-do list?
That is on my to-do list, Bob, but I don't think I'll get to it. There's so much work to be done for our non-human animals.
Well, you know, on my to-do list, or my New Year's resolution, actually, this year, is for me to start up an internet music station, because that's what I used to do. You know, that I was a program director, and I'm just saying it out loud, you know, to all four people listening now, who you know, will create the pressure, perhaps, to actually carry through and do it. But for years, I that's what I did. I decided on the music that radio stations would play, and then radio got consolidated and deregulated and really didn't need any creative input. And then I thought the obstacle was would be music publishing fees like ASCAP and BMI, but I think I see a way around them, so look out. All the music stations are about to go extinct in favor of people listening to whatever it is I hope to create. So
you're asking for a partnership? Is that what's going on?
You know, you might be doing a DJ show. You know, anything could be happening here now. So, you know,
that's right.
Vegans are at the top of the list. You know, for if you want to do it, could happen.
Awesome.
So we have a minute or two left. Anything else you wanted to mention that we haven't discussed?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to bring up a very amazing
The phone's breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you're, can you maybe talk directly in or something going on there?
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Give it a try. Yeah.
Okay. So we're putting up together the speakerphone.
Nope, it's like really breaking up. Are you on a speakerphone or can you get onto?
No. Okay.
There
this
you
is
go.
Lily.
There you go.
Maybe I'll.
You're clear.
I'll do it. So,
you sound clear.
We are organizing a vegan pledge program, which is actually started by Peace Advocacy Network, but we are running their New York City iteration. So it starts January 11th. It runs for 5 consecutive Sundays, and we offer pledges free. It's a full free program. We offer them personal mentorship and an assortment of speakers on various topics. We actually have Gary Francione as one of our guest speakers on our last session, which will incorporate the bigger issue, the ethical issues, the animal rights.
And he's coming up in just a few minutes on today's
program. So it's a great segue. And we have a few other speakers. We have Kathy Stevens from Catskill Animal Sanctuary, who is also coming up, as well as a cooking demo, nutrition and fitness speakers. We have Victoria Moran from Main Street Vegan, who's going to do a little nutrition speech, and professional bodybuilders to do little fitness demos. We're going to take people to a grocery store and teach them how to read labels.
Well, tell us how people get in touch with you. We're running out of time, so tell us how people get in touch for that.
It is the website where you can still sign up is panveganpledge.org.
Pan Vegan Pledge?
Yes.
P-A-N Vegan Pledge.
Or you can find it through our website, collectivelyfree.org.
Collectivelyfree.org. Thanks for being with us today, heroes Rafaela and Lily. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And, my old friend Peter Ween will be interviewing me on his Internet Entertainment Network tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to listen to hear what a really old friend, I mean really old friend, back to the college days. I mean, you know, when I talk about that I was married to a butcher's daughter. Well, he was friends, you know, at that time with me, and will tell me just how much she resents that I mention that on air all the time. So you can listen tomorrow, 1 p.m., at weinetwork.com, weinetwork.com. And my thanks for support from greenlightmeals.com, greenlightmeals.com. No excuse not to go vegan when you can have home delivery or office delivery. So great vegan meals delivered right to your door wherever you are in the USA, meaning breakfast, lunch, dinner, smoothies, snacks, desserts, foods the kids will love. And also it's January, time for those New Year's resolutions, and nutrition and weight loss consultation is available from Melissa Bray. So just go to greenlightmeals.com, greenlightmeals.com. You'll be able to say hi to those folks at the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming March 20, 21, and 22 at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. You can register now at worldvegansummit.com. Everybody's getting excited about it. They're really happy about seeing my next, guest. I don't know. He's a regular. Is he a guest? He's on the show every week at this time. Professor Gary Francione, the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school. The website, abolitionistapproach.com. How are you doing? Happy New Year, Professor Francione.
Happy New Year to you, Bob. You know, last night, Anna and I were having dinner with Gary Steiner, Professor Gary Steiner from Bucknell University, who's also going to be speaking at the Vegan Summit. And we had We had dinner last night at Blackbird Vegan Pizzeria in Philadelphia, and we were talking. We spent much of the evening talking about what the summit's going to be like and how excited we are to be participating in it, and how important we think it's going to be in terms of really setting a different a tone and creating a different sort of grassroots movement, which we need desperately to do. And your ears should have been ringing, Bob, because many nice things are being said about you. However,
all true. I'm sure
you are to be thanked by all of us for the labor in putting this monster thing together, because it's got to be a lot of work.
Every little detail, every person, every meal, everything required. You know, there are so many details involved with everything.
I know.
But it's worth it. It's really worth it. I mean, this is the cause, right?
Yeah, we've got to do it. Now, let me give you two reasons why. Two things that have come to my attention, very disturbing. On the 31st of December, I get a last minute, because I'm on everyone's list. So I get a last minute pitch for support from Mercy for Animals, which obviously has a lot of people on the list who would rather die than give them a dime. Me being one of them, and they send an email. They have a PR firm. So you contribute to these organizations and you're paying for their PR firms. And I get a PR firm sending me the following. This is written by the PR firm of Mercy for Animals. This was sent out to however many people it was sent out to. I'm reading it. This is not my paraphrasing of it. I'm reading it. With the enactment of Proposition 2, of Prop 2.
Oh, no. There I go. You just set me off already. Right from the start of the show. I tried to have a Happy New Year, but a second into the year, I realized Prop 2 is in effect. I'm miserable.
Prop 2
okay.
is the biggest.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but...
The biggest fraud on animals in the Western Hemisphere.
Yes. Anyway, and they're claiming... Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, Bob, contain yourself. With the enactment of Prop 2, California is leading the way towards a society in which farmed animals are treated with the respect they so rightly deserve, says Nathan Runkle, president of Mercy for Animals. Nathan Runkle says, Proposition 2 means California's leading the way towards a society in which farmed animals are treated with the respect they so rightly deserve.
Okay, everybody get a barf bag. You should have warned us. You should have said, everybody get a barf bag.
As a civilized nation, it is our moral obligation to protect all animals, including animals raised and killed for food, from needless suffering.
And of course, it's all needless because there's no need to eat any animals, Nathan.
As a civilized nation, it's our moral obligation to protect all animals. Protect. Proposition 2 protects all animals from needless suffering. It's time for egg production nationwide to end the cruel and inhumane confinement of hens in wire cages so that they cannot walk, spread their wings, or engage in most natural behaviors. Okay. Well, putting aside the fact that it's not clear whether Proposition 2 allows for enriched cages or whether it requires cage-free conditions, there's a dispute about that. But put that aside. I just want to make six comments about what I just read, y'all. First, confining these poor birds in the cage-free barns or enriched cages, doesn't matter, does not amount to respect, Nathan Runkle, and it's outrageous to use that word in this context. It is absolutely obscene to say that enriched cages or cage-free conditions amount to respect. Second, cage-free or enriched cages do not amount to protecting the bird. Runkle says this protects the bird. Bird, MFA, Mercy for Animals, suggests that cage-free addresses needless suffering. Since we do not need to consume eggs for optimal health, all of the suffering that comes from any egg, I don't care whether it's conventional battery cage, enriched cage, cage-free, or a free range, or whatever it is, a backyard egg, or whatever you want to call them. It's all needless, Nathan. Fourth, MFA tells us that cage-free is what a civilized nation does. Sorry, that's not. It's to say that this is what a civilized nation does. In addition to being an ethnocentric, nonsensical statement, it is beyond. Bob.
I'm with you. I'm astonished, but this is also astonishing to me at this point.
And then for a so-called animal advocate Nathan Runkel to suggest that cage-free barns are not cruel and inhumane is nothing short of a betrayal of non-human animals. And my sixth point: the word vegan appears nowhere in that press release. Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean. This is what y'all, those people who support these organizations, this is what you're supporting. You're supporting some guy who's telling people that cage-free is respect for animals. You're supporting somebody telling people that cage-free protects the birds. Somebody saying that cage-free addresses needless suffering. I'm sorry, but that implies that there is some needed suffering here, and that cage-free is getting rid of the needless suffering. Sorry, it's all needless, Nathan.
And do you think Nathan proof? Do you think Nathan proofreads the PR firm's work? I mean, Nathan,
Bob, it's his responsibility. I mean, putting aside, I mean, you could also say, well, you know, people are contributing money to help the animals. What are they doing? They're paying for a PR firm that's putting out this sort of stuff. And I don't really care whether Runkel read this or didn't read it. It doesn't matter to me because he's culpable no matter what. If he read it and he knew it went out, then he's culpable. If he didn't read it and this went out to thousands of people without his reading it, and if he doesn't agree with it, without his agreeing with it, then he's simply irresponsible. But this is outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous. And I don't want to hear anybody say, because it is it's complete nonsense, for somebody to say that these organizations really do support veganism, nonsense. That is absolute positive nonsense. This is shocking. I mean, it takes a lot. When I saw that, I actually had to read it several times because I couldn't believe what I was reading. I couldn't believe that Runkel would actually stoop so low as to call this respect. I mean, I realize that they're desperately trying to raise money so that they can all avoid having jobs that everybody else has to have in order to make the money to contribute to them so they don't have to have jobs. I understand that they want to sort of make a living off the movement. I understand that, Bob. I'm trying to be understanding here. But, I mean, to call this respect, to call this respect is just outrageous. To call this protection is just outrageous. And I don't want to hear anybody tell me these organizations are not promoting happy exploitation. That is a lie. That is nonsense. This press release is the promotion of happy exploitation. Yet another example of it. I mean, we didn't need this press release. We didn't need this press release to know that Mercy for Animals and HSUS and Compassion Over Killing and all of these people, all of these careerists, are basically selling the animals out and promoting happy exploitation. We didn't need this to prove that.
Well, there's a history of deception, you know, that just continues. You know, I mean, they said everything from ban barren battery cages, you know, so everybody thinks, all right, I'm against battery cages, but of course they're not banning battery cages, they're banning that they're barren. So it's okay, we'll put a stick in and some wood shavings or some sand, and there, we've banned barren battery cages, you know, while people think they're banning battery cages. And then, you know, they say, and now hens can engage in natural behaviors in these battery cages. I mean, it's all deception. We need to take a break. There's the music. We will continue with Professor Gary Francione. Please join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo so we can, you know, get things straight here. This is absurd, and Prop 2 is really infuriating. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. And while Professor Gary Francione was becoming infuriated with the Mercy for Animals release on December 31st, I was listening that very same day to Wayne Pacelli on the local NPR radio station, KQED. He was part of a panel discussion where he was extolling the virtues of giving each bird 67 square inches of space. This apparently is the protection and the respect that they deserve. 67 square inches, about 8.2 by 8.2 inches. And then a caller, for the first time, a listener called in and said, you know, with all of this, I'm so confused. I'm just thinking about going vegan. And Pacelli totally ignored her and went on to continue pushing, you know, for his egg industry friends. And then a journalist came on and said, she's checked with law enforcement around the state. They're all laughing about Prop 2, and they're saying they're not going to enforce this. Law enforcement already is saying, well, not that they would know what to enforce, right? Is it cage-free? Is it enriched? So, well, I'm wondering why these people, like Wayne Pacelli and Nathan Runkle, are called by the media as if they were voices of animal advocacy when they're just really, you know, another voice for animal exploitation, along with the egg farmer sitting next to them in the studio, you know?
Set themselves up as the spokespersons for the animals. You know, they become careerists. They Humane Society of the United States, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing. These are just people who basically don't want to have a job, so they basically go to the public and say, subsidize our lives. But you see, the problem is you can't really do that without taking positions. You know, you've got to sort of appeal to a very broad segment of the public. So what you have to, you can't challenge them. So what you've got to basically do is give them ways to continue to exploit animals and feel good about themselves. And that's what I'd like to talk about as my second point tonight, the fact that I saw a page from PETA. Being vegan is about helping animals. This is on one of PETA's pages. Not maintaining personal purity. Boycotting products that may contain trace amounts of animal products can actually be harmful to animals in the long run. For example, by refusing to eat a veggie burger from a restaurant because the bun may contain traces of milk or eggs, you're discouraging that restaurant from offering vegan options because it seems too difficult a task. This reflects, you know, this is just like what Peter Singer, this is a quote from Singer. I think it's important to try to produce change in the right direction rather than be personally pure yourself. So when you're eating with someone at a restaurant, you order something vegan, but it comes and there's a bit of grated cheese or something on it. Sometimes vegans will make a big fuss and send it back, and the food is wasted. And if you're in company with people who aren't vegan or even vegetarian, that's probably the wrong thing to do. It's just better off to eat because people are going to think, oh my God, these vegans. Now, I'm sorry, I think that's shocking.
And yes, I do too.
There you've got PETA basically saying what PETA's doing there is giving everybody a pass for cheating because they're basically saying, well, you know, you don't have to be a purist. So if you're with people, you don't want people to think it's difficult. Can you imagine saying, you know, I don't want misogynists and racists to think that equality is difficult, so I'm going to participate in misogyny and racism. You know, a little bit, just a little bit, just a trace amount, just a little bit, you know. And by the way, what's the difference between grated cheese and shredded pork? I mean, there's no difference. So it's okay if something comes out with some shredded pork. You say, well, you know, I don't want people thinking it's difficult to be vegan, so I'm going to eat it. This is nonsense. It is complete nonsense. It is complete nonsense. And this is why people really need to get away from these large organizations. To get away from these large organizations are screwing things up 16 ways to Sunday. They're not making things better for animals. They're making things worse for animals. And I want to tell you something right now. The idea that you're going to get people to take veganism seriously by eating that cheese or eating that shredded pork or whatever is nonsense. The message that you send to people when you do that is that this is not an important principle of justice, that this is something you don't really care about. And so use this as a teaching moment when you order something and it comes out with shredded pork or shredded or grated cheese or whatever, send it back and make it clear to people this is an important principle of fundamental justice and that you're not going to participate in exploiting animals.
So we're seeing the birth of the lacto-ovo-vegan, the beef vegan, the pork vegan. It's all insane. I didn't think you could get me upset more than Prop 2, but you did. We're out of time. We'll be back next week, and...
Vegan Summit.
World VeganSummit.com. Register now. Thanks.